Now, last month, health watchdogs were reviewing the safety of some everyday over-the-counter decongestants that contain a certain drug, saying that in rare cases, and I really want to stress rare cases, it was found that there were potential links to two deadly brain disorders. Some were even quick to jump to wanting to take these off the shelves and making these common medicines prescription only. So, have we become too quick to diagnose ourselves and pop to the pharmacy? And are there possibly other remedies we should consider first? Well, I have our regular nurse Sarah Kearns in studio to answer all of that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for popping in. Firstly, what is this drug we're talking about? And without naming any brands in particular, what product can it be found in?
So pseudoephedrine, so what it is, it's in decongestants normally, and that's in an array of different medicines. Like all the main drug, you know, brands generally have this medication have some sort of line. It might be cold and flu or something like that. And what this drug does is that it is called a vasoconstrictor. So you have your sinuses. Have you ever thought about it? Like they're such a massive, if I've never had sinusitis, but anyone who's had sinusitis or infected sinuses, it's literal misery, because basically we have four pairs of sinuses, and they're basically these air filled spaces, and they're behind your cheeks, behind just above your eyebrows here, and behind your nose, and in between sort of your nose and your eyes, right, just in there. And what they are there are these cavities full of air, and what they do is they have they basically keep the air that goes down from your nose into your lungs. It keeps it moist. It also keeps the flow really steady up through your nose and helps catch the bacteria. It's got a really thin line of mucus, and it basically catches the bacteria and all stuff. Because if you imagine we're breathing in through your nose, did you ever think you don't want that? You need some sort of filtration system, and the sinuses help with that. So what this, when people have blocked sinuses and, you know, sinusitis and all that sort of stuff, what happens is that mucus builds up, blocks this natural airflow, okay, and the pain, the pressure, excruciating. But what these medications do, they're called vasoconstrictors, so they basically shrink, they get swollen, the sinuses then get swollen. That's what causes the pressure and this build up of the mucus, etc. So what they do is they basically constrict the vessels within the sinuses, therefore reducing the swelling and helping this airflow get back to normal and get rid of this mucus.
Okay, so that's what it does. I just got a text in saying, hi girls, so my boyfriend has always suffered with a stuffy nose, especially in the morning. Every morning, for as long as I'm with him, he wakes up unable to breathe through his nose. He found a menthol-based decongestant about 2 years ago, and he uses it every day since. He says he couldn't live without it. You'd swear he was an addict. Anyway, I've always been worried about him and his use of it. The bottle says not to use for more than 3 days in a row. But he can't breathe properly without it. Is this dangerous for him? Thanks in advance.
So it's not dangerous, but necessarily. But one of the things that I would say to you, do you know, actually, you know what is dangerous? Is babies or small children eating Vicks. That's one of the things. I only discovered this recently because one of my friends texted me and said, do you think it's dangerous? And I actually looked it up, and it can cause seizures. Babies eat Vicks, so keep it up high. Mm-hmm. What that person needs to do is 100% go to the GP, maybe they need to go and see an ear, nose and throat specialist and have a look. What your nose, there's so much you can do. The reason that this medication is dangerous, and this is such a good conversation to have on a wider level. Are we taking two medication? The answer is yes. Clearly this person has an issue with their sinuses. Awesome. It could be super minor. There could be an underlying infection that he can't clear. Maybe he needs an antibiotic to clear it, but he needs to go to the GP and say, this is happening. Why is it stuffy? And also maybe spend longer in the shower. Maybe don't open the window in the shower room. Maybe hot air is what he needs in the morning to help clear that after shower, maybe shaving them, whatever. There's loads, hot air, maybe a hot compress. There's also salt water sprays. You can maybe spray up your nose and clear out your sinuses, unblock it without taking a medication. Mm-hmm. The reason that this medication, when I was talking about the vasoconstricting, that can basically, what this medication, there's been cases of, it basically restricts the, you know, it does this vasoconstriction, but in the brain. So if this vasoconstriction is happening in your sinuses, which is really close to your brain, it can happen in your brain and cause swelling or basically bleeding.
So on a rare occasion, like this is what they're finding. This is what it can cause. So
in a rare thing that's causing swelling and lack of blood supply to the brain efficiently. Now, there hasn't been any documented fatalities, but anything to do with your blood supply to your brain, we need to take a pause and say, hold on, this could be potentially serious.
If you had something serious like that happen to you, what would be the signs?
A headache would be a big part of it. Visual loss, weakness, any way you're feeling unwell. And actually that also is another thing. Because we take so much over the counter and because we go into the pharmacy and we get a medication, when you come into the emergency department or to your GP and they say you're on your medications, the amount of people who say no because they're like, oh, I'm not prescribed anything, no, but actually they are taking whatever medication every, because just goes over the counter, taking it every day, I take paracetamol every day or whatever it is. They're not telling the medical people that information, even though they are medication, just because they're not on prescription. There is this sort of wider, there's so much you can do for a blocked nose, okay? And you need to think, I think across the board, we need to think more natural first, right? And why is this happening? Like, you know, we nasal sprays, you know, hot compresses, maybe on the front of the face. Maybe for just even 5 minutes when you're having your morning cup of coffee, whatever it is, breathing exercises. Do you need to go to your GP? Do you need to go to your ear, nose and throat and have a look and say, why are my sinuses? Is there an underlying infection that you can't shift? Maybe you need antibiotics. Get rid of that bacterial infection, clear out the sinuses and go again. There's also surgery you can have that they can widen your sinuses as well. There's lots of different options out there. And actually taking a medication, you're nearly masking what, you know,
the root of the problem.
Yeah, the root of the problem you need to find out. And I think across the board, we are definitely way too quick to jump to medications, in my opinion. Like, there's so much you can do. The power of dietary changes can be amazing. There's loads of research behind, you know, beetroot juice and high blood pressure, or, you know, walnuts and sperm motility. There's so much
What about snot? I have a problem with snot in my house. A lot of kids, my daughter's a runny nose for literally 4 months.
Some people are way more inclined. Maybe there's an underlying sinus problem, but one of my kids always just constantly has had a snotty nose, and she's nearly six every single day.
I've been reducing, because I heard with diet, I heard that if you not get cut it out, but I do reduce her milk and dairy. Because that, you know, it's not great for the mucus. Would that be beneficial? Yeah,
absolutely. And I definitely think you know, if it really is a problem, 100% go in and talk to the pharmacist.
Yeah.
There is kind of menthol based treatments, or maybe she just needs something like Albasol or something like that over the counter, just herbal, maybe on her pillow at night or their pillow at night, just to maybe clear out. Maybe it's just in the nighttime that it's building up when they're lying down. Maybe just Albasol on the pillow. So there's those kind of things, as you say. There's dietary things, you know. Some kids really just genuinely have snot
all the time. okay, so that's like, what about stuff, what about upset tummies and constipation and coughs? And because we're always very quick to self-medicate and mask these problems.
Constipation is another one. Like, there is so much, if you are prone to constipation, there is so much you can do before even contemplating something like Dulux, which is a massive, it basically puts your, you know, it basically moves your stool, but it's quite, it can be quite a savage medication. People cause quite a lot of pain, etc. Right? You need to go to have a look. Why are you constipated? Are you dehydrated? Are you taking your 2 litres of water a day? Are you not moving? Some people are now more prone to bowel issues, and some people are more prone to constipation. So I'm definitely not. But in a general sense, your fluid intake, your mobility. Do you need to walk in the morning? Do you need peace and quiet to go through? You know, whole flaxseed, whole linseed, not the milled stuff, the whole flaxseed. You know, have a look at your overall diet. Have a look at your fibre. Go to a dietitian.
Oh, that's too much work.
I know.
It's too much work. I'll just go and get something over the counter. That's our attitude, isn't it, really?
But maybe actually, and you hear so many people that maybe switch instead of bread to a Ryvita or something. If I were those people and they were wondering about having chronic constipation, the first place I go is have a little look, have a little think about your diet, and definitely go to a dietitian.
Okay.
Upset tummies, as you were saying, maybe there's so much you can take, you know, maybe it's just like, you know, a bit of lemon and water, a bit of relaxation, you know, there's an awful lot of that. And even, it was funny, I just sore shoulder recently. I actually ended up going to the GP. It was so sore, and I was like, I just can't figure it out. I don't usually get hurt. And he's like, when we went through it, he's like, what arm is it? I have this enormous 2-year-old who I've been carrying around. He's like, Sarah, just stop carrying the baby, which I did for like 4 days, and my shoulder is fixed.
You're like, ah! Do you know,
it's actually sometimes just like taking a breath and saying, yeah, okay, but we are definitely way too, you know, any pain nurse specialist, the first thing, this is their, they'd be banging this drum all the time. To a couple of different things. If you're having headaches, why are you having a headache? Are you dehydrated? Are you stressed? Are you prone to migraines? Do you just need your lights, your light bulbs changed to a lower setting? Is, do you have too much over the headlight? Whatever. Do you need to go into a dark room? Do you need to cut out caffeine? Or do you need to, you know, there's so, headaches are caused by so many different things. You're something in your diet, stress, whatever it is. And people are eating paracetamol and Nurofen. But you know what I hear all the time as well is that paracetamol doesn't work. People say, do you ever hear that? Mm. And it's so true. Any pain or specialist, they'll be banging this drum all the time. It's an amazing medication. Instead of jumping to the anti-inflammatory medications, that maybe the stronger ones, take breath first, figure out why you're taking it. But something like paracetamol, taking it carefully, read the labels. But it's an amazing, and it always gives you background pain medication. In every single box, there's a leaflet. Read the leaflets.
If you're chewing on them for every headache and every ailment you have, yeah, would your tolerance grow up? So when you really need the pain relief?
Undoubtedly. And you know, like if you, do you know where's another amazing resource? If you're ever wondering about what's going on, the HSE have drugs.ie. And it breaks down every drug on the market. It's amazing. What you're taking, you should know what you're taking, side effects, potential side. Paracetamol, if you're under 50 kilos, you shouldn't be taking two paracetamols. You should be taking one. And like the amount of people, but that's actually written on the leaflet. We should be taking out the leaflets and we should be reading them for sure.
Okay. I think we'll be all
a little bit more cautious. Yeah. Talk to your pharmacist when you go into the pharmacy and say to them like, listen, I have a headache, blah, 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 and talk to them about what you're taking. Like, there's a huge amount of things, like I certainly do in my first aid courses. One of the things that I make sure to bring up every single week is you know, the route of medications. Maybe suppositories for kids can be so much more effective. We just need to educate ourselves a little bit more on what we're taking. Like, and the other thing that I always say is to be careful with things like Nurofen. They should not be given when someone has chickenpox.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Hi, yeah. Jen. I actually have the opposite problem of what's going on. I have the runniest nose in the whole world. I describe it as crying from my nose. It's not snot, literally water. It happens all the time. It's so embarrassing meeting anyone on the street. I'm just running out my nose and I can see them watching it streaming down my face. I haven't been to the doctor. I'm too embarrassed to go to the pharmacy. Any advice?
Go to the doctor. Because maybe there's an issue with the shape of their sinuses or something like that. A sinus is blocked or something that's caused that instead of that normal flow of liquid from the back of your ears and your nose going down the back of your throat and into your belly, maybe that flow is blocked. I would 100% go to the GP and get a referral if it was applicable, if the GP felt so, to an ear, nose and throat specialist and let them have a look. I wouldn't
suffer.
I would no way be suffering. The fact that they've sat down today and you know written a text to us, they're suffering enough. Get it fixed.
Get it fixed. Well said. Sarah, thanks for coming in and speaking with us there. There we go. And you can find Sarah on Instagram. She's at Hands On Health, does amazing first aid courses and all that kind of stuff. And loads of great advice and tips on anything.
Peppermint for nausea, peppermint tea. Did you ever? Yeah, there's so many things.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I've had a week of it now in Lanzarote.
Oh, I know.
I've had a week of it. So probiotic.
Probiotic.
Is that important?
You need to line. So if you imagine if you've had a sick tummy for a week, your whole, all that good bacteria and all that flora and fauna in your bowels have been stripped away. You need to start rebuilding that. Otherwise, you sort of nearly have an irritable bowel. You need to take a probiotic.
I had a pint. I'm going to full disclosure. I had a pint of Guinness for my birthday. I was only day three of my probiotics. Am I going to die?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Okay, fantastic. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.